At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
The kick is away. It's blocked. It's picked up by the Eagles. Touchdown. Game over.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is a 43-yard field goal try to give Green Bay the lead. It is blocked.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, Academy Award nominated actor Ethan Hawke. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got tons of time for you in this hour. And then the next hour, we have Ethan Hawke joining us in studio in advance of his new show we talked about with Kyle MacLachlan last week, The Lowdown on Hulu. It premieres tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern on FX and then streams the next day on Hulu. So we're all about watching it on the family of Disney networks. And he's going to be joining us. We got a great celebrity, true or false there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We talked in hour number one about the Eagles beating the Rams and then the Giants taking one on the chin against the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyrone Tracy is out for the foreseeable future now, Christopher, as we lead off hour number two.
Yeah, dislocated shoulder. He's going to miss, quote, sometime.
Sometime. So it's
Scataboo season.
And the Giants like what they see out of that kid. And I'm sure Giants fans are like, oh, man, Jackson Dart handing off to Scataboo and throwing to Malik Nabers is the way we're going to start winning some football games around here. But Jackson Dart is not going to be walking through that door next week because the Los Angeles Chargers are coming in, and they are killing it. We'll talk about the AFC West in hour number three, including the Chiefs win on Sunday night. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take Josh in New Mexico's phone call here. For the moment, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Have a conversation with us here. Certainly, if you're listening to us on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Josh? That's line two. Yes, we're on. Josh, what's up?
Hello.
Oh, not much. Thank you for calling. First time, long time. Hey. It is an honor to talk to you. Hello to the boys in the studio.
Thank you.
What's up, man? Josh?
Just riding on a high from a victory Monday for the Bears. First time in what feels like a decade, and just wanted to hit a higher register and say I think they may be above 500.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate that.
What do you think the bar is for Caleb to get some of the haters off his back? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Look at Josh giving the whole business of long-time listener, first-time caller. I'll hang up and listen. That is just some top-notch caller in the radio show type of language.
Not his first rodeo.
Listen, the Cowboys' defense is problematic.
Yeah,
we saw Russ go for 450 against him in week two and Caleb have his first sackless game since college and four touchdowns. So, you know, there'll be a conversation. Can he do it again? Their next game is against Vegas, which has now lost two in a row after a surprising season opening win in New England. And so that's a pretty darn big football game for both. Nobody wants to go 1-3. The Bears lost their first two. The Raiders have lost their last two. So, obviously, the Bears have good momentum coming in. You just got to keep stacking them. Keep stacking them. Get that whole pre-snap business that they've had problems with all last year and a little bit the first 2 weeks out of their system. Didn't see a lot of that. Keep spreading it around. Be able to go through your progressions. Don't take sacks. Run the football well. Let the defense do its takeaway thing. And win football games. Like, it's that simple. And there'll be the conversation. Is it the Dallas defense or is it Caleb? It can be both. Like, Caleb did what he's supposed to do against the Dallas defense. And it's not like that's the only way he's going to do it. Through the first 2 weeks, all we got out of Caleb that looked good was the first 15 scripted. Can he do it outside of the first 15 scripted? Yeah, he just did it on Sunday. Well, can he do it against the defense that's not named Dallas? Well, we'll see against the Raiders, honestly. So just keep stacking them. The problem is there's a lack of patience because we're waiting for the development that you would think a second-year player doesn't have to go through. But you're not seeing regression. You're not seeing it worse than last year. You're seeing a progression here now. And you're seeing Rome Odunze doing things. So you check the box if you got that right in that first round as well. Okay? So let's see what goes from here. At least we're not talking about putting the arm wrestling's kid in, right? You're not talking about going over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I like that.
Thank you.
Good one.
No, in all seriousness, I mean, Tyson Bagent has got some talent. That's the reason why they gave him the contract that they gave him. But this is going to be Caleb's show, and you got to stick with it. Last year was just so dreadful that you want to see instant progression. Like, oh, everything's fine. We're good. We're in a rocking chair. Now, that's not the way the NFL works. Got to expect the unexpected on occasion. And that's the way I turn to the Green Bay Packers. I thought about putting the Packers 1 in my power rankings last week because of the way they looked. And you're like, okay, let's see what happens when you get outside of the confines of Lambeau Field. And in the same way I just said, well, Caleb looked good, and a lot of people are going to be wondering, can he do it against another team that not named Dallas after Dallas's defense just gave up a ton to Russell Wilson and the Giants in a way that we did not see the Commanders give up in week one or the Chiefs give up in week three Sunday night. And in the same way we were talking about the Lions and the Commanders, let's see what they can do when they're not playing the Packers. We might learn that whoever plays the Packers looks pretty darn bad the next that day, but looks better afterwards. And the Lions prove that point potentially is a narrative that has some there to it in week two and boat racing the Bears. And we have yet to see the Commanders. We see the Commanders play without Jaden Daniels. We've kind of yet to see the Commanders full strength coming off of Green Bay, but the Commanders played much better defensively. They were living in the Raiders backfield on Sunday. So maybe it's just playing the Packers. And in the same way, those things might all be true. Maybe the same could be said about the Browns defense. I know I just went high register. Because I'm not going to go high register here. The Browns defense is real.
Yeah.
It is real. And
it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Myles Garrett's doing his things. And, you know, I know the Browns got a lot of grief for trading away the rights to Travis Hunter.
Seems like a good move so far.
I was telling everybody, as much as I love Travis Hunter, and you know that, and you want to have spectacular players that bring in people into your tent to watch, Mason Graham's no joke. And defensively, they are killing it right now. The Cleveland Browns are absolutely taking care of business and taking people straight out. As they held the Packers to a season low 10 points and 230 total yards. There's that Browns defense allowed under 250 total yards in each of their first three games this year. The only other team to do it are the Packers because the Browns offense wasn't lighting any fires other than Quinshon Judkins getting a start and coming up with the one score the Browns needed. And then, stop me if you've heard this before, with a game on the line and the Packers going up, potentially go up six with 4 minutes to go on a team that was points and yards challenged, a blocked field goal, flip the script. And the Cleveland Browns beat the Packers. The first time an NFL team has come back from a 10-point deficit with under 4 minutes remaining and won without needing overtime since the Titans 2 years ago. And would you care to hear this stat? Cleveland Browns fans who are dying for a win and were wondering with 4 minutes to go, is this season completely lost? Have we completely lost our minds with our quarterback decisions? And where are we going to go from here? And what are we going to do? The last time the Browns had a 10 or more point comeback with a win with under 4 minutes remaining was when Tim Couch did it in 2002 against Steve McNair and the Titans when they won in overtime. That's it. That's the stuff. So it's been a while since you've seen it. And now we're just, let everyone sit there and wonder what's wrong with the Packers for this week. That's what you get in the NFL, right? When Jordan Love ties his career high with five sacks, they couldn't protect him. Josh Jacobs, they finally stopped his 11-game streak of scoring at least a rushing touchdown, including the playoffs. It's his fewest rush yards in a game with the Packers, 30 rush yards on 16 carries. Hey, I think we're just going to learn you better pack your lunch pail and hard hat when you're playing the Cleveland Browns this year. And, next up for them are the Lions. We'll see what happens on Monday night tonight. And they're going into Ford Field where I think they play much better. I think we can say that even though they've only played one game, we haven't seen what they've done on this Monday night. The Browns can start scoring some touchdowns. This defense is going to carry some days, man. And the 55-yard field goal from Andre Schmidt. You know, it was a four-letter word. And in week one, it's the longest successful walk-off field goal in the history of the Cleveland Browns. Wow. So we saw some stuff that we've never seen from the Browns ever, and also since Tim Couch did it. And so they've got to feel good about themselves. Packers, go, hey, NFL media, go in as much as you want on them, whatever. I bet you LaFleur is just going to be sticking it right in their faces all week long. This is Matt LaFleur afterwards.
Well, that was extremely disappointing. I knew going into this, like, it was going to be a dogfight, and it was going to be a challenge. And what's disappointing is, you know, I felt like there you could argue that we lost the game offensively by making a critical error in a critical situation. And so, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow.
You know what? Teams don't go 17-0 for a reason. There's clunkers every year. Every year. Every single year. There's clunkers. Don't forget last year's Philadelphia Eagles started 2-2. Mm-hmm. You know, they started 2-2. Whatever. Everybody go in all you want on the Packers. I just know they're showing up to Dallas next week and their new teammate. They're going to be playing for him, and he's going to be playing with his hair on absolute fire.
Macca.
And this is, I'm sorry, TJ. I'm not doing this for trolling on you. I really am not.
You sure about that?
I promise you. Like, this is the worst result you would want to see for the Packers coming into this game.
Yeah, I thought about it.
I mean, you would much rather have, the Browns are terrible. They boat race. They're now 3-0. Like, this was exactly what maybe a doctor orders when you look back on it. Like, some guys in the locker room feeling good about themselves. Let's just roll out the footballs and roll over the Cleveland Browns. And they got rolled over on offense.
What was the score of that playoff game a couple years ago, TJ?
The Cowboys, Green Bay,
and Dallas.
I don't remember.
It's going to be something
That's all I'm saying. I'm not worried about the Packers.
What if the Cowboys are everybody's get right team? Like, yeah,
they're not that bad.
Get right game.
They're not that bad. They're not that good. Defensively, again, when you trade away one of the best pass rushers in the game with zero plan to supplement it, other than let's see what Jadeveon Clowney's doing. Let's have him. Maybe he was on the Tua watching Disney Plus plan. I don't know. You know, like you're going to have issues rushing the passer if you're trading away Micah Parsons, and then the back of the defense is not healthy and doing well. You're going to, the Packers, I think, are going to go in on Sunday night, and they're going to really hit the Dallas Cowboys in the mouth.
Yeah, I might go to the movies tomorrow night or next Sunday night.
Okay.
I'm sure
there's nice things for you to sing.
Probably.
Unconcerned about the Green Bay Packers.
Mike, you want to go hit a bar in the South Bay? No.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. And you, let's talk about another 3-0 team in the National Football Conference. Our boy Baker did it again. Stop me if you've heard this one before. So the Packers are getting ready to kick a field goal to go up 2 scores late in the game. And the other team blocks the field goal and returns it for a touchdown. Have you heard this story from week 3? Insane how it happened over and over and over again.
So many times.
I think, I don't know who's just chronologically, I don't have Scott Hansen here to tell me about this particular part of witching hour in the early window of week 3. I don't know which one happened first. I think, did Jordan Davis happen before Will McDonald jumped?
Just
perfectly. I mean, he did the same thing. He did the same thing as Jordan Davis, which is jump into the backfield, right up the gut, block it, return it for a score. And God bless Aaron Glenn. He was just having his moment, running up the field, man. And then doing a fun dance. I don't blame him, man. You're 0-2, and you're like, this thing could be over right now. Wait a minute. The special teams to the rescue. I think we're learning, and I'm not going high register on this either. I think we're learning. You best not leave too much time on the clock for Baker Mayfield. Mm. Right?
Yep.
Certainly when he's grinding an axe that you didn't know existed. Right. He is leading the league right now and grinding axes that you did not know existed. We'll get to that in a second. But for the third straight week, Baker Mayfield takes the time left on the clock by his opponent and beats them over the head with it. Just the fourth quarterback since 2000 with 3 game-winning drives in the team's first 3 games of the season. The others are named in order. Last one to do it was Tennessee's Ryan Tannehill in 2020. Before that, it was Matt Ryan in 2015 for the Falcons and then Nick Foles for the Eagles in 2014. And Baker carried it 4 times for 44 yards, including a backbreaker towards the end where the Jets just thought he was going to go out of bounds or slide, and he kept running. And he kept running, and now he's got 4 straight games with 30 or more rush yards. Would you believe in this league with running quarterbacks and dual-threat quarterbacks, that's the longest such streak in the NFL. Baker Mayfield's doing that, and he was doing it in the final drive without Mike Evans, who appears to have suffered his, unfortunately, annual soft tissue injury. And the Bucs are now 3-0 for the first time since 2005. They've won their division 5 straight years, and they didn't start 3-0 any of those years. 3 straight wins in 2025. All of them have come on a game-winning drive, courtesy of Baker Mayfield, who's getting stuff from Bucky Irving. And how good is Emeka Ogbuka?
Mm-hmm.
He is currently your offensive rookie of the year through 3 weeks. I think he's leading that pack right now. Marion Hampton had a nice game yesterday, but for 3 games. So there you go. The Bucs are 3-0, and the Jets with Tyrod Taylor performing well in place of Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson getting 84 receiving yards and a score, and that Will McDonald, the 4th block field goal. I was watching the game with Cooper, who was crying in his soup, if you will. He wasn't crying, and he wasn't having any soup. That's just a metaphor that I'm sure a 14-year-old wouldn't get. he was upset about all the fumbles of his Patriots. And he turns to me, he goes, hey, look at what the Jets are doing. I'm like, do you see how much time's left on the clock? And Baker did it. And who knew that he was doing it, because the new defensive coordinator for the Jets, he and Steve Wilkes have a history.
I loved it. And it's also, their D coordinator was the one that cut me in Carolina. So it was a lot of stuff was personal today. Hassan Reddick, former Jet, a lot of people.
Just throws in Hassan Reddick.
Oh yeah, let's get Hassan Reddick. By the way, Todd Bowles got fired by the Jets.
I
You know,
I think that's the time that we pop up the petty list right now.
That is, oh, is that right?
That is some petty stuff.
That's petty.
Well, that is some petty Guerrero right there.
You know, it's not that. You know what it is? It's not the petty scale. It's the, we might have to come up with another scale where the top of it is Steve Smith.
Okay.
You know, yeah. where one slight.
Yeah.
One, but although I don't know if you call it a slight. I mean, getting cut in Carolina by Steve Wilkes as the who's the backup coach, right? Mm-hmm. The interim coach.
Yeah.
The interim coach says it's so bad here, but guess what? It's still in my mind too good for you to be here. And he was also, as we know, Baker in Carolina was playing defensive end scout team as he's putting his hands in the dirt saying, I need to be the best teammate I possibly can be. But he has to, in the back of his mind, saying, what the hell happened to me in my career? And then he gets exit papers there. He's got to fly across the country and win a game for the Rams, but hardly knowing the playbook. And he's got to be wondering, what is happening to me? But he leads the league in finding fuel to use. And if he's using Hassan Reddick with the Jets, because the Jets traded for him, got him out of Philadelphia, and Hassan Reddick shows up, I haven't played a snap for you yet, but guess what? I want more money from you. Honestly, you got to think, like, if you're the Jets, you'll be like, excuse me? We traded draft capital to take you from the spot where they wouldn't pay you, and you haven't come here and done a thing for us yet. Can you show up and show out before we even consider adding a dime to your contract? That one I got to push a little bit back on. But then again, I also don't know the full scope of things. Baker probably does, and it doesn't matter either way. It's just, if it's enough fuel for him to go out and say, we're not losing today, that works for the 3-0. And the next one, oh boy. Because if anybody comes in the game saying they've got something coming to them, it's Philadelphia for the Bucks, who have been always there, whether it's closing Veteran Stadium and reopening the link or knocking Hurts out of the playoffs. They have got something coming to them in Tampa from Philadelphia. And guess what? Baker is standing in their way. What a game in week four. Because it's 3-0 versus 3-0. And the Bucks can put a card on the table and say to everybody in the NFL, guess what?
We're for real.
We're leading the conference at the quarter post point. It's there for them to take. Oh, man.
And Rich, if I'm not mistaken, Jared McCoy on game day, I think in week one, said the Bucks are 4-1 against the Eagles in their last five.
I'm telling you, they've got their number. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, if anybody in that game's got a chip on their shoulder coming in saying, we've got something for you, it's Philadelphia to Tampa. And Philadelphia's got everything else that they've won.
Also, some teams are other teams' kryptonite, though.
And we'll find out. That is going to be a conversation all week. And Baker's like, I've got a cape. Okay? I got your kryptonite. And just stick it where the sun does not shine.
Chris, I wonder who Baker has beef with in Philly, because that's going to be interesting. There's got to be somebody there he don't like.
Somebody.
You know, somebody who plays for, who played with the Texas or
you know
something.
What? Maybe he, and I'm just the
got
one. It's anybody. Name somebody. The one person I would just counsel Baker to not have beef with is Big Dom. That's it. Just stay away from him.
Big Dom got fined.
Did he really?
Did you see that?
For what?
Using his cell phone on the bench.
Oh, Big Dom Stallions? Is that what you're saying?
Big Dom's like, you know what? He's got to know better, but screw it.
There's like a picture of him, too, just on the phone.
Chris, Dom Stallions?
What's up? All right, we'll take a break here. 844-204, number to dial. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't have to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Tonight, turn down the noise of the day and focus on the rest with AGZ, the nightly drink for winding down and resting up. New from AG1. AGZ supports your body's natural sleep cycle with clinically studied key herbs, adaptogens, and minerals in amounts supported by research. And no melatonin, helping you wake feeling rested. Wind down, rest up with AGZ. Learn more at drinkagz.com.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, simulcast all together on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, in case you're new to these parts, I don't mind being wrong. I really don't. Really? I prefer to be right. Okay. I prefer to be accurate. I'll give you what I feel in my gut, my heart, my mind, and my soul, and my experiences. I'll put it all together. Am I right all the time? No. But I know now that we're on this platform, Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, ESPN Radio, I know there's more eyes on us in Bristol, Connecticut than ever before.
For sure.
We used to do stuff over the last 10 years. You'd let me know, hey, this show from ESPN wants this.
Sure, of course.
We said yes every time, right?
All the time.
Because we're number one. That's my DNA's from there. And number two, just spell our name right. That's all we care about.
Absolutely.
Right? You know what I mean?
I've heard you say it.
Right. But now I know we got more eyeballs on us. So obviously I'd like to be right. And I also don't know what I'm saying here would create such a buzz. Sometimes I'm just being myself. So when I said last week after Joe Burrow went down with that toe injury that was going to keep him out for 3 months, I remember Jake Browning when he took over for 7 games and Joe Burrow being 4-3. Jordan Palmer, one of our quarterback whisperers, yep, saying, hey, I've worked with Jake Browning. The guy threw for a gazillion touchdowns in college and high school. He's one of the best that I've been around who's not a starting quarterback because he hasn't really had his opportunities. Just you watch. And sure enough, he went 4-3. So I'm sitting here thinking, I saw that then. He also tossed a couple interceptions when he took over for, or 3 interceptions, right? In that game, when he took over for Burrow. Yeah. He's slinging it around. But Ja'Marr Chase still got his.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out and I'm like, the season's not over. Right?
Yeah, you were pretty adamant.
The season's not over.
Season is not
over. Jim Mora Sr. once said that famously. Yada, yada, yada. The season was eventually over for the Saints. But Jake Browning, I know, I even texted you over the weekend, Chris, I'll admit. I'm like, my Jake Browning take that got picked up by a handful of shows. and a handful of ESPN-related social sites. And we had Marcus Spears on Friday, and I brought it up to him. He goes, you know, he was very nice. He basically said, kind of don't agree with your opinion there, but I see it. Well, Jake didn't back my play.
He did not, Rich. Brockman and I had to text him something about it, too.
Jake did not back my play. 140 pass yards, a passing touchdown, two interceptions, a passer rating of 63.8. Threw a pick six, damn near right off the bat. Career lows in passing yards, attempts, passing yards per attempt, passer rating. Jamar Chase just 5 for 50, but he did fumble once. A lot of everyone else was fumbling. It was a team effort.
A lot of fumbles.
That Isaiah Rodgers for the Vikings, man.
Man, that was one of the sickest plays I've ever seen.
Isaiah Rodgers had a pick six. He had a fumble return for a touchdown, and he created a fumble as well. He won Defensive Player of the Week for the NFC before halftime. And, you know, I'm sorry to whoever is playing defense for the Lions tonight. The bar is set for you to knock this guy out of the clubhouse for Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC. And so it all backed up the play of their backup quarterback and Carson Wentz. And the weekend of the backup quarterback, man, five of them started, three of them won. Carson Wentz. He became the first quarterback to start for six different teams in a six-year span. And somewhere Josh Johnson saying, wait a minute, I didn't do that. Right? He did it? I didn't do that? You know what I mean? If anybody has a record for starting for a whole bunch of teams in many different years, it's got to be me, right? And yada, yada, yada. The Vikings are now 2-1, and they look great. And the Bengals are now 2-1, and they did not look great at all. And I'll just say this on this front, just to finish it up, okay? It's still a long way to go, okay? And I'll even say this. Jake Browning may wind up starting 0-2, because their next game, if you got the Bengals schedule, oh, boy. Here come the Denver Broncos. You want to talk about a team with some bad taste in their mouths. They lose on a leverage penalty in Indianapolis in week two. They had that one wrapped up. And they lose against the Chargers when they had that game essentially wrapped up just up the road from us yesterday. They are 1-2, and they are bitter, and they are hosting Jake Browning on Monday Night Football next week. And then they got Detroit and Green Bay next, and then Pittsburgh. Oh, boy. And Pittsburgh just turned the Vikings into their own the Patriots into their own personal turnover. So it's not looking good off the start. We're marathoning. And just in case anybody out there at ESPN is wondering, not even close to my worst take ever. Not even close. I mean, the clubhouse leader in that one was during COVID when the Heat almost won the championship in the bubble. Remember that? Yeah. And I'm like, why would they break up their team for Giannis if Giannis is available? Don't trade for Giannis are four words that live in, if they still echo in this, well, I mean, this studio.
To be honest, they should.
Didn't you make that your fantasy
team? Yeah.
By the way, I won our fantasy league with Don't Trade for Giannis. Very proud of that.
Well, that was the universe trying to like give you some good something faith back. Because hey, you messed you up so bet. Bad on the color.
So this is not, and I'm going to keep firing away. I don't care. Don't care.
We tried to warn you against both of those.
No, I understand it. I understand it.
I did my best, but
you guys have done your great work of being here on this show and backing plays and also trying to help.
Tried to.
But yeah, that was my look when I was starting reading his stat line, and I'm like, no, and uh-oh. There goes my next first take appearance.
Yeah.
That's the look I had right there. Maybe I can mimic it. Mm.
Oh no.
No, no.
And when you lose, I win.
No. Not in this case, though, Mike.
And then how about Marcus Mariota, everybody?
Man, showing that Heisman flashes right there.
Heisman. Revenge game.
Come on.
He was on the Raiders.
No, I know. By the way, there's a ton of ties there yesterday. Marcus Mariota is there. Okay. And the guy who won a national championship is up in the booth coordinating the offense for the Raiders, right? There's Pete Carroll. And there's Bobby Wagner. Living in Pete Carroll's offensive backfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was everywhere.
There's Dan Quinn, who was the defensive coordinator for those back-to-back NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. There are a lot of ties, except on the scoreboard. This thing was a washout. And Mariota got it done. So if Jaden Daniels is going to be out for just one game, check the box. The Washington Commanders getting it done. And Mariota getting it done for Dan Quinn, who, by the way, took one in the chops.
Dude,
look
that
at
was,
him bleeding from the bridge of his nose.
That was scary when it happened, too. Man. Because his head whipped off the ground like that.
I know.
Oh, Mariota trucked him.
Reminded me of, I forget the name of that, the assistant coach for the Packers that one year. He took one, he went down, it looked pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But Jeremy McNichols, who I think was also a child star in Eight is Enough. So it sounds like.
Oh, Christy McNichols.
No, I have no idea. Wow. Sounds like Jeremy McNichols. Wasn't he a Bradford kid living in Sacramento might in the 80s?
Okay. He could have been Just the 10 of Us, too. Like,
Just the 10 of Us. Great show.
Hey, man, he scored the longest rushing touchdown in the NFL this year. He had a 60-yarder.
Ooh.
Chris Rodriguez led Washington with 11 carries.
That's a start.
Bill Kroski.
Bill Kroski.
Damn glad to meet you.
Got in the end zone.
He did get in the end zone, too. 170 rush yards in the first half of week three. The Raiders defense, oy. Yeah. It's the only word you could say for that.
Can we all say that word?
No, you sure you can.
Okay. Oy.
I mean.
Oy.
And the Commanders are 2-1, right? That's a good one. They're in second place, just one game behind the Eagles. Just keep on lingering there. Just keep on doing it.
Doing it well.
Nice backup quarterback spot there. And then there's Mac Jones, everybody.
Mac Tan.
Who? Mac Jones, baby. Mac Jones.
Thank you.
Dude, how about Mac Jones? About
all he does is win.
No matter what.
Mac freaking Jones, man.
Should have kept him, Brockman.
Stop
no,
it.
That was bad.
That was over. I saw it myself. I called it.
It was rough.
I called it in Germany, man. If Belichick could have left Mac Jones in Germany, I think he would have.
Should have left Bill in Germany.
Oh, my God. Look at you talking that way. But it's just the third 3-0 start for the Niners this century.
Really?
Yep. The last time were 2019 and 2023, and those were their Super Bowl seasons. Mm-hmm. How about Eddie Pinheiro? He's kicking field goals. Jake Moody, man. See you later. Eddie Pinheiro, everybody.
Eddie P.
Yeah, McCaffrey keeps doing his thing.
He keeps doing his thing. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall, yeah. 8 catches, Pearsall. 117 yards. Mac Jones is finding receivers.
Peace.
Problem is Nick Bosa. We're trying to find out how bad his knee injury is there. But Mac Jones, 21-25, 174 pass yards and one pass touchdown on throws under 10 air yards. He was dinking and dunking. It just doesn't matter. He did throw a terrible pick. It looked bad. But Mac, when the Niners needed it, 63-yard game-winning drive with under 2 minutes to go. And the Niners are 3-0. That's what you need. You need your backup quarterback to win you some games. The problem is for the Bengals is they need their backup quarterback to win a season. Can Jake Browning do that? We shall see. We shall see. But if Brock Purdy's coming back, Niners have the 2-1 Jaguars in their house next week before they come down to the Rams' house to kick off week 5 on a Thursday night. They're 3-0. They're in front of the Seattle Seahawks. They're in front of the Rams now. And everyone's just going to be like, yeah, so what? So what? Who did you beat? What are you doing? Can you keep it up? Guess what? Purdy's coming back. Kittle's going to walk through that door. At some point, Ayuk, we're assuming, is going to walk through that door. They're going to start getting healthier. If Nick Bosa is not out for the foreseeable future, maybe, just maybe, the back end of that schedule. Home for Carolina at Cleveland, which we know is not going to be anything easy. Home for Tennessee. Remember we were wondering that Monday night game at Indianapolis? That's going to be something like, that's winnable. Maybe not anymore. We'll see how the back end looks. But Mac Jones, Mariota, Wentz doing exactly what you needed him to do, and Tyrod Taylor almost did for the Jets. Backup quarterbacks. It's almost as in fashion as blocking field goals. Of which, by the way, 7 blocked kicks on Sunday. Tied for the second most blocked kicks, punts, extra points, and field goals. There are 5 blocked field goals yesterday in the history of the NFL in just one single day. Backup quarterbacks and block kicks. Not exactly what the NFL is trying to sell.
You know,
but
could have been better
in this day and age where we're watching for fantasy purposes or for your purposes, something where American dollars are on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Scott Hansen texted me during the commercial break. What's up, Scott?
Oh, he's
You're out there watching.
What's up, Scott?
He did, in fact, confirm Jordan Davis blocked the field goal before Will McDonald, the fourth, did. Jordan Davis was first. Wildest witching hour in some time is what Scott called it. There you go. We take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number dial. Ethan Hawke is making his way to our green room right now for a studio appearance in hour number three. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll take your phone calls in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio, back on the air. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect the stuff you love with renter's insurance. Visit progressive.com. The other sports outside of the National Football, you know, obviously we're NFL-centric here quite a bit, certainly on a Monday. You know, we'll talk about Clayton Kershaw's night. I'm sure you had tears in your eyes rooting for Clayton as long as you have from 2024 on, Mike.
I was so sad.
This guy wearing his Dodger hat today. What a fraud and a shame.
Yeah, thank you, Jay Felly. I love my hat.
Terrible.
Go Dodgers.
You're the worst.
In the college football world. College football, everybody. Listen. You are a Syracuse Orange fan. You went to the school.
I am, sir.
Where does going into Clemson, taking a big Syracuse Orange foot and breaking it off in the Tigers' spot where it does not shine with Dabo Swinney now reeling, where does that rank for you as a Syracuse sports fan, Christopher?
Man, it was way up there. Saturday was so sick. Minus the 90-minute weather delay. So, like,
sure.
We were riding high, and then it's like, ugh. And, you know, my Syracuse group chat was like, man, don't love how long this weather delay is. This is sucking all the momentum out of our sails.
You saw
what
happened on, like, the Thursday night kickoff, right? With the momentum swing between the Eagles and the Cowboys.
I really
hope this
doesn't
screw us. The
lights
going out in the Super Bowl a few years ago, right?
Had we not had that rain, we would have won that game.
Maybe so.
But, yeah, and then the way they just... Clemson just did not show up in the second half. Look, our quarterback went down. He's out for the year now.
I know that.
The backup, Ricky Collins, came in, played nice. Man, love our coach, TJ. I know you're coming around on Brown.
Yeah, I've been watching clips of him. I like
that
this
guy. That was a huge win. You know, put the program back on the map last year with how successful that was. And then this year, you're like, wow, now look at our schedule. It's going to be impossible. I don't know if we can compete to go into Clemson. And their program. Did Dabo retire today? Is that what I heard?
Here's the thing.
Did he quit?
Here's the thing is that when your school, certainly in college football, wins a game that nobody expects them to win.
17-point underdogs.
And leaves the opposition in
ruins.
A full-on flame situation where you just leave them in a fetal position and all sorts of finger pointing and recriminations are happening. As you know, that happened last year with my Michigan Wolverines. If this analogy was the same though, you know, Clemson would go on to win the national championship and credit that moment loss for sparking something.
Sure.
But Dabo's post-game press conference left some echoes going on. Even my even-keeled buddy, Chris Fowler, was tweeting about Dabo being a little out of pocket here. Hit it.
If we stink because we haven't played for the national championship since January of 20, well, I guess we stink. Or we haven't won it since January of 19. We haven't won the national championship. Well, then I guess we stink. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams out there who ain't ever won nothing? We're not perfect. And we may suck this year. We may lay a freaking egg and go 6-6. But I don't think so. And I know that's going to disappoint a lot of people. But I don't think so.
I think he needed to... He realized that he needed to come back and try and rally his troops right now by saying, I don't think we're going to be 6-6. But to sit there and and say, why are you holding us to a different standard? Because we've won at least once recently. It's just not the way of the world, man. Ryan Day must be sitting there in Columbus and going, what? Because I don't lose Big Ten games like ever, except for the ones that my fan base really wants to win the most recently. I mean, everything. Hey, listen, we've won around here. Go criticize a program that hasn't won in 2020 or 2019. Like that just doesn't cut it. That does not cut it. Certainly when, you know, that's not what the rallying cry was 3 weeks ago. It's like, we're opening the season and we're going to go crush it and we're a top 10 team and let's go. And now it's just like, wait a minute. Why is everybody so upset around here that the season's totally on the rocks? Because we won here 6 years ago. That's just not the way it works. And he knows that's not the way it works.
He should.
Well, he does. Of course he knows. Because I'm sure he's feeling some heat right now. You think Alabama people are like, yeah, okay, we're good with Kalen DeBoer. Because they wanted Dabo about 3 weeks ago. And 3 years ago. And 3 months ago.
Yeah, but Caleb
and all
never
in the last three,
him,
4 years. With Nick Saban thinking, like, at some point when Nick's leaving, we want him.
Dabo's buyout is $60 million.
That's the whole point. I mean, he and Kalen DeBoer are matching wits in the most expensive buyouts that's not going to cost anybody anything other than their shirts. And nobody's stroking that check. But congrats, man. That had to feel really good for you.
So awesome.
Oh, baby. Nothing like a big win for your school that nobody's expecting against an opponent that you leave in absolute fetal position crying for mama status.
On the road, just doing it at Clemson just made it so much better.
Oh, and my brother-in-law, my nephews, they are pumped up in Syracuse country. Ethan Hawke's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.